that, we've got company.
Hello.
Trust me, Hera, I'm excited. This is my excited face.
No, this makes me so happy.
I like you. You don't fit in around here either.
All right, if I tag along?
More the merrier.
Get ready to be impressed.
You ready to be impressed, Tam?
I'm completely ready.
Bright suns, everyone. You're listening to the Geeky Bubble podcast, where we talk about the Star Wars animated shows from the comfort of our own geeky bubble. I'm your host, Jonah Marie, and with me is the hunter to my Omega, my mom, Maria.
Hey, everybody.
So I know we're all excited that the Bad Batch is back in action. I know personally I was excited to see Omega again and see how much she's grown. But before we dive into the episode, we wanted to share a big update on our part. So before, we used to do weekly episodes, weekly podcast episodes. But the truth is, I've been experiencing burnout for a couple of years, and I had been pushing myself to record new episodes because I know people enjoy our show very much, but with my new job and other interests popping up, we decided it was time to start winding down as a podcast. And I know that's really disappointing news because, you know, we have such dedicated and wonderful listeners. But the good news is this won't be our last episode. We will record another episode at the end of the season to share our thoughts about the show then and probably cry about it because somebody might have died or who knows. But for now, you know, we hope you'll enjoy this one episode. And yeah, we'll be back for a little bit more later on. But let's go ahead and dive into the episode. So, you know, we noticed that the Bad Batch had new gear.
Yeah, on, very, you know, new look.
New looks everywhere. I know Hunter has that sexy red scarf. And I thought, that's what function does that serve other than making you look hot?
And I say exactly that. Exactly what it's meant to do.
And I noticed that looking at these two episodes, I picked up on sort of like a theme of what came before or like how the past informs the present, specifically during moments like when they use the Separatist tanks.
Yes.
And when we've learned more about how before the Separatists, there were the Serenians on Sereno. And even Omega studying, even though she was studying ships, she wasn't really studying history. But the act of studying is to inform yourself so that you can learn about a topic that could help later.
You later on, that will help you make better informed decisions.
Exactly. So, yeah, I just really found that interesting throughout these two episodes. Did you pick up on that?
Yes. Yeah. That there's much about the present, the past informing the present. Like things that we know and things so that we know have happened, things that we know how they actually work, inform the decisions that we make in the moment. Like when she immediately picked up, hey, you know what? I read about the fact that these freighters have boosters. You know, it shows that you need to know. You need to know more than what you think you should. Because at one point or another, you're going to find yourself in a position where you're going to have to make a decision.
Right.
And without knowledge, what are you going to do?
Yeah, yeah. You might end up making a decision, but is it an informed decision? Yeah. And even Tech finding out about the archives, the specific device.
Tech, like, the person that you think doesn't need to know anything, right?
Yeah, and it's so funny because he knew exactly the weight of the chest that fell on his leg. But he didn't think about what came before the Separatists.
Yeah. And to him that was a Separatist
device.
Yeah. Like when the sexy voice of Hector Elizondo, Romar, told him, you know, the Serenian were there first. You know, like, that's us. He says, I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
And it goes to show that you knowing has a big influence. You knowing things, being informed about what has happened, what is happening, makes a big difference in the way that you think about the world around you and about events happening around you. You know, not only yourself, but the events that are happening around you.
Yeah. And just looking at things from a different angle, from a different perspective is always important. And so, you know, we start off with them being on some random beautiful planet. And
that was first, gorgeous.
Because I have Avatar The Way of Water on my mind. So when I saw that opening shot, I thought, oh my gosh, is this Avatar? Oh man, I love that movie. But anyway, yeah, I was instantly transported to Pandora. And so I really loved seeing Tech as a teacher.
Yes.
And I was curious, Mommy, like, out of all of the Bad Batch, who would you want to be your teacher?
That's
it's a great question, right?
It's interesting because as the Mac geek that I am, I would think I will go for Tech. But I would actually love to have Echo.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, that's a great choice.
Like,
He's well-rounded.
Yeah, exactly. He knows things from all sides and every, but he has such a way, different way of looking at things. Like, his experiences has informed him so much that he has developed into this very empathetic person, you know, like, he doesn't just see the problems they're having. He sees the problems everybody else is having around them.
Right.
So it's not just about helping himself. He wants to make sure that others also have the help they need. And that I find that will teach me more.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that. I mean, I love Wrecker because I think last season we saw how he was teaching a bit to Omega, and but the way that he went about it kind of scared me because I was like, oh my gosh, Wrecker, you need to be a little bit more responsible when teaching her. So I think I would love Wrecker because he makes me laugh, and I think humor works best for me, and that's how I'm able to remember things because then it makes a strong impression in my mind. But then I also love Hunter, and I would love to have
him. You will learn nothing, because all you will be looking is
at his eyes
and his sexiness. So you will not learn anything.
Ah, man. I love that man. But anyway, let's see here. And we have Omega being super cool. And how she handled that situation with the space crabs.
Yeah. And so, the space giant crabs.
The space giant crabs, yeah. And I really loved her calm, cool-headed approach to it. Because I would have easily freaked out.
I just love how she just started running. Tech says, you know, grab the line.
Yeah.
And she knew immediately, okay, I'm just going to make this guy close out so that I can jump through that.
Yeah.
You know, like, instant.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that was such a cool moment.
Yeah, yeah.
I think for her.
Like, she knew how to catapult herself. Yeah, yeah. And so we find out that they're still working with Sid. And I know one of the things I had brought up last season, if I remember correctly, because I honestly don't remember that well, something about how I would like for them to move on from Sid.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that it's time for them to start branching out, but then maybe that's the echo in me talking, because I want them to do more. But yeah, they're still with Sid, and Sid's a good character. I'm not hating on Sid or anything like that. I would like the Bad Batch to, you know, start tapping into their potential.
Yeah, one of the things that it may be that they're still with her, and I love how Sid pointed it out in such a way that, you know, it's not just in the show,
mm-hmm.
but you can actually see reflected in our day, in our lives today. When he says, we are free, excuse
that you think that. Yeah.
Because in a way, we're really not. You know, economically speaking, they need to be able to take care of themselves. They need to be able to take care of Omega. And so yes, they're free, but they have responsibilities.
Right.
There's things that they need.
Right.
And in order to do those things, you need money, unfortunately, because that is the way everything is transacted.
Yeah.
And I just love that. And that really tells us why they're still there. She is the only way they know to how to get that money, get that income.
Yeah.
That they're not gonna end up in jail because she has proven that she's sort of loyal, you know? She will keep their secret as best as she can, of course, being Sid.
Yeah.
So they trust her.
Right. Yeah, and they've also fallen into a routine. This is the closest thing they know because they get orders, they carry out those orders.
And Hunter being Daddy Hunter, you know? He wants to make sure Omega has a routine, an education.
Right.
And she's not going to have that if they're running from place to place.
Right. I was thinking, why don't you guys just go off to some planet and live off the land? I know that's hard because that also comes with hardships, but it's not impossible, you know?
everybody has their limits.
Then we wouldn't have a show.
Exactly. And not only that, but if you think about it, you know, we all have dreams. We all want to do things, but there's also, we're not alone.
Mm.
And if it's not just me, and in their case, they're four or five different individuals, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And they all have needs. They all have their own individual way of doing things.
Right.
So that will make it a lot more. Can you imagine trying to entertain Wrecker?
Yeah, that's true.
In an isolated place?
That's a good, fantastic point. You know, one of the things that I wouldn't say frustrates me, but one of the things that I pick up on is how Star Wars stories limit themselves in terms of, the rules they make up for themselves. I understand you need to get money. I understand you need to get gas or whatever.
Fuel.
Star Wars fuel. Because I know we saw that in Rebels. The reason the ghost was cold was because they didn't have enough fuel and they needed to get fuel. And then that's how we meet the whales, the space whales, and the Purrgil. And so, I understand that there are these things that need to control the story in a way, they're rules to abide by. But at the same time, I find them so limiting because this is Star Wars. Where's the adventure? Where's the, you know, just doing things for the sake of doing things and not holding yourself back by earthly things? Because money, fuel, those are earthly constructs.
But that's the world that
we recognize, that we know.
Yeah, and the world, the whole story has evolved around.
Because right.
It has evolved around power, around the fuel, amassing power.
That's true.
And dominating.
Yeah, that is the core.
Yeah, that so
yeah.
So in a way just permeates and transforms from that big cornerstone,
mm-hmm.
as much as you can branch out, there's always going to be.
Right.
Because that is what is at the core of
right.
the whole. You can imagine a world of adventure and whatnot, but at the same time, at some point you will say, but how is it that they can do all this?
Suspension of disbelief.
You know?
yeah. I do get that. Because we do, at one point even, I forget what it was. And maybe it was Star Trek that we were watching. And I remember going, well, how did that happen?
Exactly, you know? So it's like, if you don't have it, you're going to question it. But if you have it, you would like not to have it.
Right. Yeah. It's just like, you can't, damned if you do, damned if you don't. Sort of a thing.
Yeah.
So, I guess that's the thing that I've been craving. Because I miss that adventure. I miss that the Force-like aspect. Not that there needs to be a Jedi, right. but I wish that we could do something like, oh my gosh, the character in Star Wars Resistance, the Relic Hunter. Why am I forgetting her name?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Having an adventure with her, or having an adventure with a pirate.
Or just them embarking on something like that.
Yeah, I get you.
You know, I just want that little variety in there. But anyway, that's just me craving that sort of, those kinds of Star Wars stories. But I still love the show. But anyway. So Echo, you know, expresses that they should be doing more. And, you know, I've mentioned earlier that they've fallen into this routine. Do you think they'll get to a point where they actually do have to part ways from Sid?
Oh, yeah. It will be a disservice to the whole show, because they really need to stand on their own.
Yeah.
They really need to. Like, I understand why being with Sid at the moment and why when we can come back that they're still with her. But yeah, they do need to break away. And we may be already in the way, because even Sid says it, you know, it's just a matter of time.
Right.
When the Empire is going to come.
Yeah.
And this is going to be gone.
Yeah.
So it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Whether it happens today or it happens tomorrow, it's going to happen.
It's only a matter of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can totally see that happening at some point in the season. I'm just curious how it's going to happen. Is it going to be voluntarily or is it going to be by force? Because
is somebody going to die in the process?
I'm
very afraid of Sid dying.
You can't do that.
Yes, yes.
don't do that to me, mommy. But you know, that's the other thing about Star Wars. It's like, man, stop killing my favorite peoples.
But that's the thing. It tells you a story. It gives you a lesson.
This is what I told my friend the other day. I said, "See, this is what I get for investing in a franchise with the word wars in it."
You know, but it's the reality of it, and this is what I like about it. Is it gives you reality mixed in with fantasy,
mm-hmm.
and it's done in such a way that hopefully, because not everybody sees this, but hopefully it makes you think.
Yes, yeah.
It makes you wonder, what if we could do things differently?
Mm-hmm.
What if instead of being that way, we can be in a better way. And that's what it always had attracted me to it. I don't get involved in the minute details and perfection of this and that and the other thing. Mm-hmm. I just go for the metaphors that connects me to that connects my present, my experience, my world, to a world of fantasy where I can change things better, in a better way, that I can make better decisions than the ones that I'm limited to make at the moment, you know?
Yeah. Anyway, getting back to the original discussion point, I'm so curious to see how this is going to unfold.
Yeah.
Because it definitely, like you said, Sid bringing this up is leading that way. I'm just curious to see how it's going to. So, you know, we get to Sereno and... Oh, no, I'm sorry. I skipped a whole discussion point with the pirate. I forget her name already. But did you really think this person was a friend? Because a friend... I would allow to sit like on the chair in front of my desk, but not at my desk. She was sitting at her Sid's chair with her legs up on the table. There are limits that I have.
Well, that may be you. They both Sid and her look to be a lot similar in that they control their scene.
Oh, okay.
So I could see if they're friends, that they will try to control the scene around themselves as
gotcha.
Well. You know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
I could see that, yeah.
So I could think, yeah.
Because I got the feeling that she was a quote-unquote friend, but not really. Like, this person could stab me in the back kind of a person.
Well, the point there for me was that Sid told her about the clones.
Yes.
And I don't think, like I mentioned before, I don't think that she Sid will betray them just as easy.
Yeah.
Like, easily like that. So I do believe that she does trust this other person.
Right. So she's the one that we're getting the Sereno information, war chest stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we know that that mission was not successful in any way.
Oh my God.
How do you think this will affect the relationship between her and Sid? Or are there going to be any major repercussions from not getting this?
I don't think so, because her words were, remember, information is not cheap. I will expect
a cut. But what if they didn't get anything? So now
if you get it.
Oh, I see. There was a condition.
Like, there was anything, if this pays out for you,
I see.
Remember, you're going to have to give me something.
In my mind, I was thinking, oh my gosh, they didn't get anything. What are they going to have to actually pay her with now?
No, because I think that what she already had a deal with her, because that chest that they brought was for her.
Yeah, whatever that was. Yeah, yeah.
So I think that the intel was more in a personal conversation. Like, okay, I know of this. Now, if you can do something about it, you know, go for it. But if you get something, remember me. You know,
right,
like, hey.
Right. Yeah, I honestly went to the, oh my gosh, what are the consequences of this failed mission?
Like, I expect you to give me a couple of the millions if you win the lotto.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
You know.
But you didn't give me, unless you gave me numbers. If you gave me numbers.
I gave you life. I gave you life. And I gave you an education.
Yeah,
and I made it possible for you to earn the money to invest in that ticket.
Yeah, but the equivalent in the show would be if you gave me numbers.
No, because
that's like information.
We can equate it to anything.
Okay.
Diverted.
Yes,
here.
We went into
Let's
a
go
whole
back.
Tangent
Let's go back.
About lotto numbers. But anyway. So yes, we get to Sereno. It was interesting to see Dooku's younger days in Tales of the Jedi, because we saw how, you know, he was about to end that senator with the force chokehold because he was a corrupt individual. But here is the spoils of war. You know, this is a man who corrupted himself. Absolutely.
So, yeah, he allowed corruption to enter his heart. It's always goes back to...
He became the thing he hated.
Yeah, the ends don't really justify the means.
Right. So he became that person, that corrupted person that ended up stealing from the people, which is what he was, you know, all heated about in Tales of the Jedi.
Yeah.
So, it was really interesting to see that a few months ago versus the results in this episode. So that was great. Well done.
and every time you start to compromise.
Yeah.
You chip away a little bit until there's nothing left in the end.
It's true. Yeah. And at one point, Echo tells Hunter, our lives are like this because of Omega. But then Hunter pulls him to the side and Omega doesn't hear the rest of the conversation, which was the right thing to do. She only caught that first part, which really messed her up. And you should be careful with what you say around children.
Yes.
Because that has a really... intense effect on them whenever they hear something that they could blame themselves on, you know?
Yeah.
So I was just like, oh no, Omega, no, she heard that when she's hugging Lula. I was so sad. I wanted to give her all the hugs.
Yeah. It's She only heard the first part, and not only that, the first part can be interpreted in so many ways.
Right.
Even if she had heard the rest of the conversation, that first part would have still
been
there in her mind.
The topmost thing.
He said the rest because he was correcting himself? Did he really mean it? Like, it's still the issue. And I think it's still going to carry with her, even after what he tells her in the end. It's still going to carry with her the fact that they're there because of her, because it was whether because they wanted to help her or it was because she wanted to help them. She is at the center of it.
Right. Yeah.
And at this moment, I think that's all she sees. I'm the problem. I'm the center.
I'm the reason.
I'm the reason.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how Omega
grows out of this.
Yeah. Is it going to hold her back, or is she going to consider what Echo said after and that towards the very end of the episode and actually move forward from that?
I would really like for her to keep thinking about it every time she sees those beautiful colors in that kaleidoscope, to think about what Romar said.
Yeah. Let's actually talk about that. So we have Romar, who was voiced by Hector Elizondo. Amazing.
Yes.
That voice is so distinct. I was like, oh my gosh, that's Wan Chi-Tung from Avatar The Last Airbender. He who knows 10,000 things. Oh, I love him. And of course, he was Joe in Princess Diaries. He's played so many amazing parts and characters. But anyway, yes. Here's another awesome character to add to the mix. But Romar Adel, he ends up giving her a kaleidoscope. And he says that something that makes you happy is worth more than any jewel. Yeah. And Omega is that to the Bad Batch. She makes them happy. And she is worth more than any jewel. And I just, that made me so teary-eyed. But then also that Omega's a child, and this toy is a child's toy, so she should be allowed to be a child. It's something that I got away from that too. But what were some of the things that you picked up on from that kaleidoscope?
I love that he wanted to preserve the history, the art, the language, the music. That he saw those things
as valuable,
as the basis of the culture.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just how wealthy we were. It's not how much we have. It's all those little things that makes us all the same. Music, art,
philosophy,
language, all those things are supposed to be uniting factors within a group, you know? And it's so sad that it gets lost.
You mean like in everything translation?
Else. Yeah. Yes.
Because it's not, it's something, it's so minuscule, it's just so tiny that there's so many things happening that I don't know whether the average viewer picked up on it, like grasped that the depth of what he was trying to communicate.
He was there alone, isolated, trying to build his culture back, preserve his culture,
right?
Keep the things that he believes matter the most and represented the better part of his culture,
right?
You know, and he was so happy when
Tech fixed it.
You did it.
Yeah. And it was someone who, I guess, not technically, but out there represents the Empire.
Yeah.
You know, it was a clone who fixed it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just that was really, really subtle. And I really loved it. Oh, and so do you think it was right that they were possibly going to use this money for themselves or for other reasons? If they had managed to take some with them, Or was the lesson more using this pilfered money was not the right thing to do?
From the point of the Romar, he doesn't want to do anything with it. He doesn't want anything, have to do anything with it because of what it represents. From the point of the Bad Batch, the two possibilities that you have mentioned, either we use it to, you know,
help ourselves
or we use it to help
others.
I think that the whole convergence of Romar, the way and the people that he represents, what was happening with the Empire and the everybody coming at them and them trying to just, you know, get away from it. To me, it just wanted to bring out the greater good.
Right.
What is the greater good? What would have been the best way to, if we're going to use this money, if we're going to get this money, what will be the best way? And I think that's why in the end they didn't get it.
Right.
Because they still don't know. They still are not in the place where they can say, what are we doing?
Right. You know? Yeah. And I just want to read out loud the bullet point I wrote, which was, do you think they should have at least come away with something, or was the lesson that pilfered money doesn't make you any better than the pilferer who pilfered those treasures? I used pilfered so many times that I wanted to, you know, read it out loud.
No, and you know why? Yeah, there is a lesson in that.
Yeah.
But I also see it as the fact that they fail because they're still not ready.
Yeah.
They still don't know. They're getting there, but they're not there yet.
It'd be nice for them to have it, though, for when they do get there.
But that's the thing. Like,
I'm just saying.
That's the thing. Sometimes the help is better used when you need it, not before you need it.
I see. Yeah. So I found it interesting that they're still using stun against the clone troopers.
Yeah.
And I know at one point earlier when we were rewatching it, I was like, man, I would like to have at least one clone on the Imperial side be like, why are they using stun against us? You know? Like, their weapons aren't even set to kill. So I would like that awareness, but I guess maybe they're not at that. Maybe the clones don't have that self-awareness just yet. Because of the chip, and that's another thing. Like, I wonder, is the chip thing still active? I don't know. There was a huge thing last season, and now I'm not sure what's going on with it.
Yeah, okay, don't get me wrong. I know people still die there, you know, because they did explosions.
Oh, of course, yeah.
But, like, them intentionally, like, purposely, like, first resort kind of thing. They don't kill the clones. They
you know,
just stun them, and it's fascinating to see that they keep trying to do that.
Yeah, and I like that the model of the ship that the war chests were in and whatnot. I think that's the same model that's used, or similar model that's used in Rebels when Chopper is trying to get his leg and he ends up in that ship, and that's where he finds AP-5. And I was really hoping that we'd see one of those droids, not AP-5, but I was really hoping that we'd see one like running around or whatever, but it's okay.
Yeah, because he could have died.
No, not exactly. Yeah, that's true. I didn't want to see the droid die. That's true. And then, you know, jumping back a little bit, we know we see Dooku's, I guess, space office. The first things I said, I was like, oh, that's where Dooku used to do his Dooku-ing.
That made me laugh.
It's like his Dooku-ing. But yeah, that's where he used to operate from and contact the Emperor and whatnot. Or not the Emperor, Sidious at the time. And you know, one thing that, you know, you can't help but notice, I know it happens in all Star Wars stories and in all general stories, to be honest. You know, like what can go wrong will go wrong.
Yeah.
It's like smacking me in the face, I feel like, oftentimes with the Bad Batch, because it happens so often. It's like, man, these guys can't catch a break.
Yeah.
Because it's like one bad thing after another. And so it felt like a little too repetitive. You know, I remember that in the season finale where it was just like one bad thing after the other. And I was like, man, these guys need to breathe. Give him a break. I really felt that this episode, and I was wondering whether, like,
yeah, I kept pulling to the front of my chair. I usually am relaxed, all laid back.
Yeah.
And I kept just standing in front, like, okay, what's next? What's next?
I know, right? Because who knows? I mean, Tag's leg got broken. I don't remember what part his
feet. And that freaking thing wouldn't stop falling.
Yeah, and that thing wouldn't stop falling. It's just so crazy. But yeah, that's. I'm just curious how that's going to progress moving forward. Is it just going to be like more, more of that?
Yeah, I want to see one of their missions going out. Smoothly. Like, not smoothly in the sense that, okay, we didn't find some problem here and there, but the fact that we see the whole mission and they end up with the prize at the end.
I want it to be smoothly, and then at the very end, they'd be like, that was too good. that I don't know whether we'll see that ever again. But I do love that Omega had the knowledge to be able to get out of that situation with the war chests and whatnot, with the boosters. That was really cool to have her be the one to. And I love how Tex, like, I'm really impressed. Yeah. Oh, and I also love that Wrecker did some great thinking on his feet, too, with the weapon. Because he saw the battery and he, you know, put this together. It was very MacGyver of him. It was a very MacGyver moment, and I was really proud of him for putting it together. I didn't catch it the first time around. My friend Elisa was the one who pointed it out, because I guess I was typing something on my computer. But then when I saw it the second time around, I was like, oh, look at Wrecker. Look at Wrecker being super smart in that moment.
We have to also point out the fact that it was something that will go boom.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
So, of course, he knows all things boom, you know.
It's his language. Yeah. That's his love language.
But it was nice to see him.
Yeah.
Like, not just pulling the trigger, but building.
So Omega ends up going back to try to get some treasures so that they could come away with at least something, and Echo tells her that she has to let it go. But at the same time, I feel like Echo isn't the kind of person to easily let things go. So do you think that he's going to let go of the fact that they should be doing more? Is he going to let go of that?
It's more of you need to let go in the moment of what is stopping you from seeing the whole picture, from understanding what is more important.
Right.
It's not really that you need to let go of your beliefs.
Entirely. Yeah, yeah.
Like, Echo has a firm belief that they should be helping.
Well, if they get to a situation where Echo needs to let go.
Yeah, but at that point in the moment where it is life and death. Uh-huh. Then your life is more important than that principle.
Right. It'll be interesting to see if he's put in that similar situation.
Yes, exactly. So I think that when he told her you need to let go, is that because in the moment you need to learn also as a soldier, you need to learn where's the limit? Where is it that you can no go further? And at that moment, she needed to let go. This is a lost cause. You're not going to be able to save it. You're not going to. So you need to realize that and step back.
Right. Good stuff. And then there's Rampart. Comes at the end. I honestly had forgotten his name. And I was like, oh no, what's his name? Rampart. That's right. So, you know, he wants to leave Clone Force 99, those details out of the report. And Wolko, Captain Wolko, who, and thanks Elisa for this, did you know? But Wolko is short for will comply in military talk, Alex, I guess. No. Yeah. So will comply. And of course, he went down as trying to comply with his original orders of, you know, capturing things accurately. So does this mean that the Empire is not going to bother with the Bad Batch anymore because Rampart doesn't want the Empire to know that they're alive? Or does this mean that Crosshair, if he is back with the Empire, which I imagine he is, given by the trailers, that he left that part out? Or do they have like some sort of like agreement, secret agreement, that we should just not acknowledge the fact that they're alive?
I think Rampart is not a dumb guy.
Oh, no.
You know?
No.
So I'm pretty sure that he has something
in place
in his mind. Whether it's with Crosshair or not, we will see. But I don't think he's gonna let go. You know?
Tying it back to what Echo said.
He doesn't want his superiors to know.
Right.
Because that will mean his end. Mm-hmm. But he is gonna wanna make sure that it doesn't come up again.
Right. Yeah, and speaking of Crosshair, what did you think of the fact that we didn't see him at all, or that he wasn't even mentioned at all in this episode?
Well, everything has its time.
Yeah, it's true. You know? It's true.
So I think we may get to see him again, and probably in relation to Rampart.
Yeah.
To, you know.
Yeah. I do. I would love to see the clones tap into their emotional sides a little bit. Because they're such, you know, by the book kind of guys. And I get it, because that's how they were born. That's how they were bred. That's how they were trained. So they don't really know any other way of communicating what it is that they're thinking. And if they do, they compartmentalize, like how we talked about before. But I was just like at one point, have, you know, Tech say, oh, you know, Crosshair used to. Or Wrecker be like, oh, yeah, Crosshair. You know, like, just a little bit of acknowledgement. Just because I feel like that ties it in. Like, he's not completely out of sight, out of mind to them. Like, maybe he is in the back of their minds. Even though, you know, at the very end of that episode in the season finale, you know, they parted ways. But nobody really leaves your thoughts, you know.
Yeah, I got it. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I just want to see like a little acknowledgement, switch, just a tiny little thing. You know, those little moments that really resonate and like stand out and make you go, whoa. Yeah, so I would just love to see that moving forward, but we will see. And so, since we won't be recording every week, what major things do you think are going to happen?
Well, I think that I'm hoping, mm-hmm. I'm really hoping that this pirate woman friend of Sid shows up again.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure she will. I mean, mainly because she's voiced by Wanda Sykes, and I feel like you don't really hire someone like that if they're just gonna stick around for one episode. So I think she's going to recur,
and not just because it's voiced by Wanda Sykes, which I love, but because I like how she addressed Tech.
Oh yeah, brown eyes.
You know, you have Sid with her tall, dark, and broody. Right. You know,
right. She's got her own.
Yeah. But I liked how she. You know, this one is too big. That one is too whatever. But then, hey, you.
Yeah,
you
it was know. like a Goldilocks situation.
And it was Tech, you know?
Yeah. I do. And this is one thing that I had told my friend, Elisa, about, where I was like, man, I would like to the clones. I totally get that they're running away from the Empire. They have to stay hidden from the Empire. But at the same time, Hunter expressed that they're free. And so I would like them to be able to explore what, you know, people on the average experience the crush on like a vendor lady or something, or a vendor guy, you know, whoever.
Yeah.
You know, some little things like that that show their everyday slice of life. And like and that's the thing where like the rules about money and, yeah. and fuel kind of get in the way, because if that's the only thing they're worried about, they're not going to experience everything else that comes with, you know, yeah. freedom.
Yes, yes.
So, yeah, I would love to see that. I would love to see them be put in situations that aren't military based. Put them in situations that are going to make them feel awkward because yeah. they feel something for that other person, or that person feels something for them and they don't know how to deal with it. I just yeah. want to see that. I want to see them living.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
living their lives.
And other than that, I would also like to see what happens with Echo and his desire to help.
Yeah, yeah.
Because sometimes in life, like in life, you know, people go their different ways.
Yeah.
People part ways, not because they don't care about each other, or because they don't love each other, or because they don't want to be there for each other anymore, but because
they have, are different.
Yeah, yeah, they've interests grown. Are different. You grow in different ways, and you want to pursue other things. So I would like to see how the whole relationship with the group, the dynamic, evolves.
Yes.
I want to see, because you know what? If Hunter decides to take Omega away and live that farm life, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's perfectly fine, because that is his desire. That is what he feels comfortable with. That is what he aspires to do, you know?
Right.
But that doesn't mean that the others have to necessarily want to do that.
Right.
And it doesn't also mean that they don't care about each other anymore, but that they have really grown and are really free to be their individual selves.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know?
I would love to see.
I would like to see if that's going to happen. Look, if it is that they end up all deciding the same thing, great.
Right.
Because they're the bad batch, and I love that.
Or I love stories where it seems like they're going in different directions. They actually do go in different directions, but then they converge.
They converge back again,
yeah.
because that's where they're yeah. at their best.
Yeah.
And they realize this is it.
And then Echo comes out of nowhere just when they need their help. So,
you know.
It's just, I love seeing that.
So
kind of
whichever
stuff.
Way it is, I would like to see that. And it any way it is, I would love it, because
yeah.
it is, like I said, it's a fantasy world that reflects our reality. And I would like to see those types of resolutions,
yeah.
where there's no animosity between people,
yeah, yeah.
because they chose something different.
Agreed. And I want to see Nala Se pop up
yes,
again.
Oh, yes.
So I know that was one of the things that the season had ended on. And so I'm sure she's bound to pop up again. I gotta see her interact with Omega. We didn't get nearly as many interactions as I would have hoped in that first season, because she was away trying to have someone protect her and whatnot. So it's just, yeah, I want to see that sort of relationship pop up again. And I want to see where Omega ends up at the end of the season. Like, how are the things that she's going to experience down the line going
how
to
are
shape
they gonna
her?
Exactly how they're gonna inform her
yeah.
and make her whoever it is that she's gonna
yeah,
be.
Yeah, like, yeah. So and I wanna know whether someone's gonna die. Like, just let me know now so that way I can mentally prepare myself.
I don't think they're gonna say that.
I know they're not.
They're gonna destroy you.
Yeah, they're gonna do that. So that's pretty much it for this episode. And I know it sucks that we're not going to be recording every week, but Who knows? Maybe in the spur of the moment, there'll be like 1 week when we decide, hey, maybe we should talk about this.
Yeah, because there is something that can really not wait.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, just keep the podcast stream open in case we drop an episode. But definitely we'll record towards the end of the season just to summarize all of our thoughts from the second season. But anyway, listeners can find you, Mommy, where?
Listeners can always find me on Twitter with the handle at Hubian214.
And listeners can also find me on Twitter with the handle at Olajohna, H-O-L-A-J-O-H-N-A. And you can also find updates about the Geeky Bubble on Geeky Bubble Pod. And so that's it for now.
And may the force be with you.
Always.